This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we wanted to get into the Caps here. Big game tonight. Caps are at the Jets, two best teams in the entire NHL. Two teams with the most points getting together. And we wanted to get some calls on this at 800-636-1067. Will you be bummed if Ovi doesn't break Gretzky's goal record this season? Does it matter to you if he doesn't get to 895
I think season? Obviously it would be super exciting. That means he would go on a little rush here. And I mean, it would be a great lift off into the playoffs. But on the other hand, I do think it would be awesome to have something to look forward to at the beginning of next season. It would be something you could build even more anticipation for over the summer months. So I could kind of be swayed either way. But certainly, what would be my preference? Preference is this year. But I don't think it's a catastrophe if he comes up, let's say, one or two short.
Can you imagine if he ties it this year and what the ticket sales for the first game for next year would be?
They'll be just out of control.
Can I ask you a imagine? Question?
Yeah, it'll be crazy.
Is there a second, another record where they include postseason goals? And where would he stand?
I would have to look that up.
I
mean, probably not that high because they haven't had many deep runs.
Just curious. Well, I mean it's got to be high because, no, I'm not saying only postseason goals. I'm saying add his postseason
if you add those,
goals
okay.
I don't know.
To
yeah.
his other... you know, what's
not
he
sure.
got? 20, do you think he has 20 postseason goals?
Oh, yeah, definitely has more than that. More
I have
now.
No idea.
He's got to have way more than that. I mean, he had a boatload just in the year of the cup run
in
2018.
All right, so
I don't know how many all-time
goals leader in postseason is Wayne Gretzky with 122.
All right, and how many does Ovi
have? Ovi has 72.
All right, so he has 72.
So he's 50 behind.
So if you add 72 postseason goals to... his chase.
Yeah, but then you have to add the 122 to Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
So he would have a 50-goal spread.
So he'd have a 50-goal spread. Okay.
Personally, I think it's great. Look, I'm getting greedy about the great chase because I'm going on the road next weekend to Long Island to see if he can possibly tie or break.
So you would definitely be disappointed.
No, I won't be disappointed because for me, it's always about
postseason.
The team doing well. And the team making a deep cup run and maybe getting a second Stanley
See,
Cup.
See, Cakes knows it's coming, so it kind of doesn't matter to him when it happens.
It's coming either.
I mean, you would love for it to happen when you're there
it'd be
watching.
Great.
But yeah.
But again, that's selfish. Like, if you had your druthers, he breaks it at home at Capital One Arena in front of home fans.
Would you rather him break it at home this year or break it at home next year? Break it on the road this year versus break it at home next year. What would you rather have? Break it on the road this year, or break it
at
home. Or just wait. Don't get that goal on the road.
Wait and break it at home.
Wait, break it at home next year.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Delayed gratification.
What about this idea? Let me throw this out. What if he breaks it this year, they go on a run, they're hoisting the cup, knock on wood, right, and then he says, I'm Dunsky. So
Fine.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't break the record? He's not going to say I'm done, Ski. He's gonna at least come back for another year.
Breaks record, lifts the second Stanley Cup, and then rides off into the sunset.
If he did that this year. But what if he does? So you might want him to not break it, win the cup, and then you know you're going to get him back for another year. There's no way he retires if he's like two goals short.
No, of course not.
But there is a possibility that he breaks the record, wins the cup this year, and says, walks. You know what? There's no better time to walk.
I'd be completely fine with that.
You wouldn't want to see another year?
Hold on. You're telling me he breaks the record. He breaks Gretzky's record.
He would do anything for another cup.
And he wins the Stanley Cup in this season.
Yeah, but then you never see him play again.
Fine.
Versus.
Because he goes out completely on top.
No, but here's the other thing. Win the cup, but don't break the record. And then so you get the cup. That's all anybody really cares about. But if he doesn't break the record, you know he's coming back. I think I would rather him.
But Cakes would rather have the cup than the record.
Yeah, right. We all would.
As long as we get the Stanley Cup.
Am I articulating the scenario correctly?
You're saying don't break it.
Don't
win the cup. Comes
and then
back,
he's guaranteed
score three
to come back.
And then you know he's coming back. If he breaks it and he wins the cup, there is a percentage chance you never see him play again.
As long as we win a second Stanley Cup, I don't care if he plays one more second or 10 more years.
But if he wins the Stanley Cup and he doesn't break the record, he's definitely coming back.
Of course.
Yeah.
He's not, I think that's he's not what gonna I prefer. Leave, he's I not, prefer he breaks it next year.
He's not going to leave it with two or three goals and then just say, I'm going back to Russia.
Did I just wrap my brain into a pretzel?
Yeah. Hold on. Why would you not want him to break it and win the cup this
year?
Because
then he might not come back.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah,
he's
okay
just literally
that.
Going out as the greatest player.
I'm selfish. I'd rather see him play.
It's the greatest
end.
That's the greatest storybook ending ever.
Yeah, I'd rather see him.
I love seeing him too.
I'd rather see him play.
Here's the best part. Here's the best uptick. They're in great hands. Look at the way the team has been built while Ovi is chasing his record. Like,
right.
It's not like Ovi would leave and then all of a sudden the team just falls apart and they're a bottom
feeder.
No,
I'm not saying they're going to fall apart. You get so much pleasure watching Ovi. Like, he's so
fun
to watch.
20 years of it. It's been a great run. I've enjoyed all 20 years of it.
I selfishly want more.
Here's why I think it will be a bummer if he doesn't do it in the next few weeks. It will get lost in the fall sports in October when he breaks the record. World Series, 100%.
College football.
College football, NFL.
Maybe nationally, but not locally. Maybe nationally, you might be right.
Well, yeah, I mean, care about nationally. I care about everyone talking about Ovi and him getting his credit that he's finally due or that he deserves. I mean, we in this town, we all know Ovi's great. He is appreciated here. I want Ovi to be appreciated all over the country.
I like how you want
to be recognized as one of the greatest hockey players of all time.
I think it's a valid argument.
Instead, they're going to be talking about Pitt versus Virginia Tech on Thursday Night Football.
Personally, I think his legacy is already cemented.
It's
like
seven.
He won a cup. He's going to be the top goal scorer of all time.
He needs 7 and 12 games.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Joe Beninati joins us on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joe B., it's a good day to be Jacob Chychrun.
Just an awesome bit of news for sure, Grant. I know the guys were having a lot of fun with Jacob today at Canada Life Center. Somebody put 72 on the front of his helmet. Somebody also pinned a $100 bill to his practice jersey. He actually made it onto the ice without realizing it was there. So he's flying around carrying the hundo behind him and carrying 72 proudly on the front of his helmet. Really just part and parcel for this group that loves each other. They feel great about the way they're playing, and they couldn't be happier for Jacob. Jacob said in the last couple of days, Grant, that this wasn't weighing very heavily on his mind. All of a sudden, he got a call. The agents got involved. They settled pretty quickly, and they're extremely happy. And wouldn't you be?
Joe B., I'm going to give some numbers for my listeners, and then I want you to maybe provide some color commentary on the other side. But among defensemen this year, Chychrun, first in game-winning goals with 6, first in power play goals with 5, first in in goals scored with 18. And then if you look at points on the year, 16th, assists, tied for 36th, second on the team among defenders. He's got the third highest goal total behind only Makar and Josi on the blue line since the pandemic year. I mean, this is a really elite offensive player. How has he flourished to the extent that he has this season in Washington?
Very gifted offensive player. You've obviously itemized a lot of the numbers. incredible physical specimen, a tremendous athlete, and has always been that, and has always been, I think, for the longest time, too, Grant, the Caps were looking at Jacob when he was with the Coyotes organization. Then he spends a brief system, a year in the system with the Ottawa Senators. They were always eager to see if they could land him. When they did it in an offseason trade that involved Nick Jensen, they were thrilled. They knew they were getting a player who could really help transition from defense to offense. Once he gets in the offensive zone, he's a major, major threat. And I would say, when I think of the two most impactful defensemen this season, I might put Makar from Colorado, Werenski from Columbus as the only two, maybe, who are more impactful than what Chychrun has done with Washington. He blends in so nicely with the way Spencer Carberry and Kirk Muller, Mitch Love, Scotty Allen, the coaching staff, all want to integrate defense into the offense. And all of a sudden, I guess the biggest number, Grant, you could look at was a season ago, the Caps defense corps as a group was ranked 30th, I believe, in blue line production. This year, with the arrival of Chychrun and opening up a number of other players defensively at the offensive end, they're already up to second in terms of overall defensive production. And Chychrun has been the lightning rod for all that success.
Yeah, they were scratching and clawing to get to 20 goals last year as a group. And he's going to get to 20 this season, to Joe B's point. Here on Grant and Danny on the Fan, Jacob Chychrun, if you haven't heard, you're just getting in the car this afternoon, an 8-year extension worth over $70 million. From the Capitals. How did they get him straight up for Jensen?
I think more than anything, the salary structure in Ottawa created room for some movement there. I look at Ottawa's left side when they had Shabbat, Sanderson, and Chychrun, and you that would be the envy of any defensive left side throughout the NHL in terms of ability level, age group. They realized that Jacob was going to ask for and demand a lot of money on the other side of his deal when he was coming out of it. And in advance, I think they made their decision, Ottawa that was, to move on from Jacob. Washington pounced. Nick Jensen's a solid player, and there were draft picks involved in that deal as well. But Chychrun is somebody that they've coveted. I know they've coveted him going back to the Coyotes days, and that's not that all that far ago. This is a player at a terrific age group, in a terrific age group to absorb an 8-year deal like this. I think Ottawa knew contractually they weren't going to probably be able to meet his demands. And thank goodness Washington did.
Joe Beninati on the call tonight of the Caps and the Jets, one of the most anticipated games in this regular season between the top two teams in the NHL. Before we talk about the matchup, one more on Chychrun. Specific to the salary cap explosion coming, did that make this easier? I've seen a lot of people saying, man, 8 years, $9 million, that's a lot of money. Can you educate us a little bit on just how much of a boom is coming in the cap and why that makes this a little more stomachable?
I can't give you the specifics, Grant, but if you'll notice, there was an announcement made recently about year-to-year improvements in the salary cap. I believe it extended out 3 years. I know that there is a collective bargaining agreement to be made within the next year or two between the league and the Players Association, but the strong belief is that the salary cap is going to grow significantly for sure this year and for as many as, I think they've itemized as many as 3 years out, so that if you wanted to be able to spend to the cap, that cap was growing. And I think that definitely has an impact on the Logan Thompson deal recently in the Nets for Washington, definitely has an impact on today's deal with Chychrun. I know that those are immense dollars, and it's just incredible to see, but it makes it, I guess, more palatable to be able to spend to the cap, which is something that Ted Leonsis and the Monumental Sports and Entertainment owners have done throughout. But now they are getting a little bit more room, and it gives them the ability to keep a team intact If I'm not mistaken, all six of the defenders who are likely to play tonight are signed up through at least next year. So there's continuity there. They're extremely well paid, but the league has expanded from a salary cap standpoint and is going to continue to do so. That gives teams a little bit more wiggle room in the, inside their negotiations.
Yeah, it looks like, just digging up the numbers here, $88 million currently. It'll be $95.5 million next year, and then $104 million the year after that, and then the final year of the 3 years of growth that Joe was talking about, up to $113.5 million for 27-28. So that is
wow, Grant. I didn't even realize it was that high, but that's a lot. And that's terrific. That tells you the game is in a great place, and it gives teams that have the wherewithal to be able to do that. It gives them the ability to sign some great players and set them up for the rest of their lives. I couldn't, you know, you can't be happier for Jacob. You see him today and you realize he tells you how happy it is. But think about that day. It should happen for all of us that you sign that kind of a deal that just creates such an amazing opportunity for Jacob and his family for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, his entire life's work in hockey pays off, literally and figuratively, with this announcement today. Joby, I can't wait for 8 o'clock and puck drop tonight in Winnipeg, as you'll be on the call of what is going to be, I read today, the seventh ever game this deep into a season where the best team in the East will play the best team in the West when both teams are top three in goals scoring and goals allowed. I mean, this is the good stuff in the NHL regular season. Just how fun might this be tonight?
Yeah, without a doubt, Grant, this is strength against strength. You come right out of the gate with those numbers, and Washington holds the most goals per game of any team in the league. I believe it's 3.66, and then you're bumping into the Winnipeg Jets, who have the league's best goals against average. So it's strength against strength in so many different categories of special teams, power play against penalty killing. Winnipeg has the best home ice PK, Washington the second best. I'm sorry, the best home ice power play, Washington the second best road PK. In so many ways, you're seeing the league's elite two teams, and they have been this way for quite a while. The Capitals have been doing extremely well in the Metro and in the Eastern Conference, just like Winnipeg has been in the Central and out West. And the game that we saw between them earlier this season, Grant, was right at the outset of February. It was in D.C., and I have no qualms saying Winnipeg was the best team I have seen on the ice against Washington with my own eyes. They were fantastic. The Caps rallied to squeeze a point there, got into overtime, eventually were beaten by the Jets, and tonight the Caps look to return the favor on enemy ice.
Caps have won 4 in a row and 9 of 10, and they have points in all but one of their last 13 games on the road, I believe, as they are in Winnipeg this evening. I also think we're getting two guys who have arguably been the best goaltender circuit to circuit, because Logan Thompson's expected to start in net against Connor Hellebuck tonight, yeah?
Yeah, without question. And Hellebuck, I think, is the presumptive favorite for the Vezina. He is the ironclad number one for the Winnipeg Jets. He's already won that award twice. I just think I've seen every game that Logan has played this season, and cover to cover, I would say he's been the best goalie that I've watched, and I think is deserving of the award. And there is precedent for goalies who have been in season-long rotations, as Logan has been with Charlie Lindgren, for them to win Vezina trophies. Linus Ullmark, just a couple seasons back, was in a rotation with Jeremy Swayman, was incredible, had similar numbers to what Logan's provided, and was awarded the Vezina. I would have to imagine Hellebuck is the likely winner, but I think it'll be closer than you think, especially if Thompson finishes up as strongly as we expect. But tonight, those two guys against each other again, this is it's another King Kong Godzilla kind of matchup.
Joe Beninati on the call just a couple hours from now. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Caps, Jets, a game we've been waiting for weeks as these two teams barrel down the stretch. You mentioned the year Logan Thompson has had. He's gotten a lot of credit for it, deservedly. Tell me if you think I'm crazy here. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois, and I heard you say something along these lines on the telecast with May the other night, is going overlooked in so many national circles. Is it crazy to say he should be getting some type of Selke discussion for his work defensively? Or I don't have the global knowledge like you do of the rest of the league. I'm sure there are other guys like him, but I just think we should be talking about that. He's been so good as a shutdown forward.
Terrific. And at the same time, in the second half of the season especially, Grant, his offensive numbers have risen to the point where Washington would have loved to anticipate that's what we're going to get for production from a first or second line center. And that's genuinely what Dubois is and can be. I didn't realize that he had the defensive acumen that he does. He's the son of a coach. He knows the game extremely well positionally. And this year, Spencer Carberry has entrusted him with the top defensive assignment each and every night. Now, when the Caps are at home, there's an easier way to control the matchups. You have the last line change. It's not as easy to get the center that you want or the player that you want against the other in a matchup when you're on the road, as we are tonight. But you would think, more often than not, Carberry is going to try and do his best to get Dubois on the ice against Scheifele, a former teammate. Pierre-Luc is extremely well-known here in Winnipeg. I believe his mom's in the area still. I want to say they had lunch yesterday. So when I spoke to Pierre-Luc Dubois earlier, he's very much looking forward to this matchup. And all season long, he's been the one, along with Spencer Carberry, saying, hey, give me McDavid, give me Matthews, give me Barkov, give me Scheifele, give me Crosby, on and on and on. And he's performed incredibly well. I believe he was +4 the other day in a matchup against Florida, straight up, head up against Barkov. I think he's deserving of a lot of consideration for that Selke Award. He's been one of the league's best defensive forwards, if not the best.
Joe Beninati on Grant and Danny. Before I let you go, I've got to sneak in one on Ovi, because here we're talking in late March about the Capitals, and he's 7 goals away from Gretzky. But it is 7 away now with 12 to play. Joe B., we are coming down to the wire.
Yeah, and it's cool to travel around with this group now. Yes, the vibes are amazing at home and at Capital One Arena, but it's pretty interesting when the team does have a road game. You come north of the border where hockey is king. You come to Winnipeg. There are fans waiting at the private plane lot, at the private jet lot in Winnipeg, just to get a glimpse of Alex and his teammates. It's like you're traveling with a rock and roll band. It's just amazing. And every time I come into the rink, I've said this, my senses are heightened. It's nerve-wracking because you know we're getting closer and closer. You're on the edge of an amazing accomplishment, and it's staggering to think of this record ever falling. Gretzky's held it for 31 years, but it sure looks like the Great Eight's coming for it.
We'll be watching tonight, as ideally you are calling at least one Alex Ovechkin goal as he takes one more glide of the skates closer to Wayne Gretzky. Joe Beninati, the outstanding face and voice of Capitals hockey for so many years here in D.C. Thank you, sir, and I can't wait to see you back in the district.
Thanks a lot, Grant. Sign me up for this one. It's going to be a great game tonight.
Helping us preview tonight's action and Ovi's quest for Gretzky, our friend Steve Wino, senior Associated Press hockey writer. What's up, Wino? How are you, buddy?
Good, JP. How you doing?
I am good, man. How are you feeling in advance of this game tonight? Like, does this feel like a cup preview to you?
It does, in that these have been the best teams in the NHL so far this season. And while they're not the betting favorites to get there, if I think the Dallas Stars and Florida Panthers are, there's no reason why we can't be dreaming of a cup final between Washington and Winnipeg, just based on the consistency of these two teams. I mean, the Jets came in here into Washington, win an overtime game. They're very evenly matched teams. Great goaltending, arguably probably 1 and 2 for the Vezina Trophy with Connor Hellebuck and Logan Thompson. Some great scoring, Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele for the Jets, Dylan Strome, Alex Ovechkin, even Alexi Protas, Tom Wilson. The sort of depth of offense that each of these teams have. A few trade deadline pickups for each one of these teams, that this is going to be a big one when it comes to the President's Trophy and who gets home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. Not sure the Capitals really necessarily care about that as much as getting the first seed in the East, but it's certainly a big late season game that could have a big impact a month and a couple months from now.
You say they're not the betting favorites. Why is that in hockey, where the teams that are playing the best are still not the one that you consider going to be the favorites to win it?
Yeah, you know, I think this one has a lot to do with what Dallas and Florida went and did at the trade deadline, and the Panthers being reigning Stanley Cup champions. They've made two recent runs to the final. I know it feels like yesterday, but the Capitals championship is 7 years in the rearview mirror, which is also the last time the Jets made it past the second round of the playoffs. And they have sort of similar struggles of those questions mounting over the years, like the Cavs did before they got over the hump in 2018. But you could go ahead. And I think whatever sports book you have, you can go and do a Caps Jets Cup final and hope for the best.
What B said there is really fascinating, that I understand the odds kind of shift, but these teams have been the best for so long. How many, I should know this, and forgive me, I don't, how many playoff series has Washington won since the Cup? Any?
Zero. Zero. Wow. The Capitals have not won a playoff series since 2018, and that's one of the things that I think, obviously, everybody in that locker room, the organization, would love to win another championship before Alex Ovechkin retires, even after that, of course. But yeah, this one of the things that they've hoisted the Stanley Cup and had a parade more recently than they won a playoff series.
That's crazy, dude. All right, talk about our friend Steve Wino here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Wino at S Wino, WHYNO. You had some quotes I saw you tweet out about the Caps from Florida Panthers coach Paul Maurice talking about the Caps offense. What did he say about what the Caps have been doing this year offensively?
Well, the fact is, and he was trying to explain this in a way that they don't have, like, this is not Alex Ovechkin in his prime, Kuznetsov, Backstrom in their prime sort of talent when it comes to offensive skill and creativity and all these other things. But the Capitals are just relentless offensively, and just they manage to score goals without taking a ton of risk. And maybe Jacob Trickern, who I'm sure we'll get to with the contract extension, a little bit of an anomaly with that when it comes to this team. But the Capitals have managed to be the highest scoring team in the league while not necessarily having that 50, 60 goal scorer like Alex Ovechkin used to be, or sort of cheat in their game for offense. They've been so good structurally as a team, as a five-man unit, especially at even strength, to be able to defend well and help out Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren, not giving up a whole lot of crazy chances most games, not all games, but also to be able to turn that into offense and odd man rushes and goals and scoring chances in a way that as Palmer said, there's no BS in this. This is not, there's no sort of, it's not like the smoke and mirrors offense. This is the depth of offense where they're getting goals from first through the fourth lines, all three D pairs in a consistent way that has allowed them to be this dominant.
Yeah, I think that kind of helps them out right there, Steve, where they have so many guys that put the puck in the net now, where if you're a defense against them, you can't just go sit over there and try to stop Ovi.
No, B. Mitch, you're exactly right. And that's one of the reasons why Brian McClellan and Ted Leonsis in this organization wanted to make this team, while Alex Ovechkin is chasing this record, still competitive, still being a playoff team, a playoff contender, ideally a Stanley Cup contender, because if you were trying to get Alex Ovechkin X number of goals to get the 895, and you're having defenses load up on him, it's not going to happen. You're just going to be spending every day spinning your wheels, and you're not going to also have the empty net opportunities. You're not going to have the power plays. By being this good of a team and having balanced offense, you're making every opponent you face say, who are we going to try to stop tonight? Is it going to be Ovechkin? Is it going to be Alexi Protas, who's a 29-goal scorer out of nowhere? Is it going to be Dylan Strome, who's their leading scorer and has blossomed into one of the top centers in the NHL? The Capitals have that sort of depth, and they've been very lucky, knock on wood, injury-wise, to be healthy throughout much of the season to be able to have Spencer Carberry mix and match along the way.
It's been really, really interesting to watch, and this season has been such a fun run. I think it says a lot that everybody's talking about the Panthers. Well, they just came to town and got their ass kicked by the Caps. Like, I think that was a real reminder for the Caps to the rest of the league.
Yeah, it was. And here's the thing. I think there's a heavy level of respect around the NHL right now for what the Capitals have done, because not a lot of people expected it, honestly. And I think that's a fair assessment to say that the Capitals were considered a bubble playoff team going into the year, and have surprised the heck out of everybody to be this good. I thought they were a better team, and maybe the rest of the Eastern Conference had also gotten better and make it a challenge to get in. But they've hit on just everything along the way: the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade, the Jacob Chychrun trade, Logan Thompson trade, Manger Mangiapane trade, signing a handful of guys, Brandon Duhaime, Matt Roy, Taylor Radish. It's just everything has just gone incredibly well. And, yeah, I don't think there's any teams around the league looking at the Capitals, especially with how big the team is and heavy and tough to play against. No one's saying it's going to be easy to face the Capitals in a 1 out of 82, let alone a best-of-seven series.
The Chychrun deal, what do you make of it?
I think it's perfect for player and team. And this was, I'm pretty sure that Jacob Chychrun in his camp would have loved to be a $10 million a year defenseman. When John Carlson signed his contract after the Stanley Cup in 2018, he was an $8 million defenseman. The salary cap's going up. This is sort of a meet in the middle situation. I know the organization had been trying really hard to make sure that Chychrun wanted to stay here and felt rewarded, all these other things. He took a skate cut to the right wrist during that game against Florida on Saturday, came back into the game, but was limited to practice yesterday. And I have no idea from a human perspective if that led to him saying, okay, you could be one injury away in this sport from not making another penny the rest of your career, if that was sort of the final push to this. But the Capitals are relieved. This was the last thing on Chris Patrick's in-season checklist. You already got Logan Thompson signed, already got Charlie Lindgren signed. Now you've got Chychrun signed long-term. He's your future number one defenseman, and he's a high-event player where sometimes he's going to take some of those risks and mistakes in his defensive end, but a career-high 43 points, 18 goals, or more than the rest of the team's defensemen combined. I think it's a great deal all around.
Yeah, he's special, man.
Yeah, dude.
I've been watching him. He's special.
He's a stud. It's been such a – I mean, even going back a couple of years, I was like, all right, they're not going to be able to thread the needle. They're just going to kind of prop Ovi up to get to the record, and then they're going to have to rebuild. They've threaded the needle, dude. They could win the Cup this year, and obviously the chase is still going. Talking with our friend Steve Wino from the Associated Press, lead hockey writer on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Wino, how you feeling about the chase? Need seven with 12 games to go.
It's getting a little nerve-wracking, and I think Alex Ovechkin's going to need a multi-goal game sometime very soon to put this back on track. And again, you can't underestimate this guy or not expect him to do it, but it's still borderline. Dylan Strome, to his credit, has been saying this all season. It's still going to be tough to get there by the end of the season. Yeah. There's a reason why Alex Ovechkin has another year on that contract to do it. But he's had stretches of 7-8 goals in 12 games before. He's also, at 39 years old, wouldn't be surprised if you score 4 in 12 games. And we're sitting here in October having the same sort of discussion about that. I would feel better if he popped one or two tonight at the Jets, or another one or two on Thursday at the Minnesota Wild. But right now I'm under the 50% of him getting it this year and needing to speed up to get there.
Dude,
that injury hampered things.
For sure. But the first time I allowed myself to wonder if he might not get it was after he didn't score against Detroit. When the first game back from that Cali road trip, and the team was able to score, and then he didn't get one. Now, he got the one against the Flyers, but I don't know, man. I think what's cool is that's not all we care about. Like, the Cup run is what's going to matter far more. But I have some pause on thinking he gets home this season now. Last thing for me, Wino, how excited are you just by this Terps basketball team, the shot Derek Queen hit the other night? Wino, a proud Terp as well.
Yeah, no, that was fun to see this team have that sort of success for the first time in a long time, a trip to the Sweet 16, and in a dramatic moment too. Like, we're going to be seeing that Patrick Queen shot buzzer beater for years on highlight reels. And now the question is, I think you're thinking the Terps are playing with house money, but there's no chance there's no reason why they can't give Florida a scare or potentially beat Florida in the Sweet 16. And then who knows how long this team could be playing.
Hey. Beat Florida. I'll be all fired up. Wino, thank you for the time, man. Enjoy that game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Steve Wino does an absolutely great job covering the Caps, covering hockey. Give him a follow at S Wino, WHYNO on social media.
My guy, your guy, our guy, Jacob Chychrun, our weekly guest, who will be on the show again tomorrow to celebrate his new contract at 3 o'clock live here on The Fan, got an 8-year deal for $72 million. He earned every penny. And the guy that helped strike that deal and get it done with Chychrun is on our hotline right now, Chris Patrick, the general manager of the Washington Capitals. Chris, first of all, take a bow. Congratulations, not only for the Chychrun extension, but for everything that you and Brian McClellan have done since last year at this time, working beautifully. You guys are you don't miss. Can you come over and help me at the house?
Well, I love doing stuff around the house. You can just ask my wife, so I'll be happy to do that anytime. Neil, drywall work or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a fun season, a lot of hard work, across the board, not just Brian and myself, but our hockey ops group, our analytics team, the coaching staff, the players. It's been a great year. I think, as I've said in the past, a lot of new faces coming in. I think the biggest reason it's gone as well as it has is because our leadership group, Alex, Tom, John, Nick Dow, Dylan Strome, they right away brought these guys in and made them feel comfortable and helped them get, acclimated to both the area and the system and the kind of hockey we play. And from right from the early in training camp, you could tell that, there was a good vibe around the team. So huge credit to the players and obviously, really happy it's worked out this way so far.
I mean, Chris, as a longtime radio listener and now having done radio for a while, you get an executive on and you just kind of, pump their tires a bunch. You're like, oh, come on, GP, enough already. I try not to. I'd love to just, ask tough questions. I'm about to be Jenny Finch. I mean, you're never going to do a better interview than this. I'm telling you right now, what you guys Perfect. Have done has been astounding. And every Caps fan coming into the season, whatever expectations they have, right now has got to be elated with seemingly every move you guys made worked out beautifully. I guess the one thing maybe is Mangiapane hasn't quite lived up to expectations, but you guys are batting like .978. Have you ever considered the possibility that you could make a move that wouldn't work? Like, have you thought about that at any point?
Yeah, I mean, all of us have been around here for a while with the organization, so we made plenty of moves that didn't work as well as we hoped or were maybe flat to how we hoped. But, this is certainly a situation where, every deal you do, you work hard on it and you think through all the possibilities, both positive and negative, and it feels like it. Every guy came in and really exceeded what we would hope they would have done. And even Andrew, I think, came in and the role he's playing is a role that we felt was really important to have a guy like him on the team, kind of a swing guy that can go, play in the bottom six or the top six depending on what the needs are. So yeah, it's nice when it works out the way you plan. It doesn't always work out that way, and so when you get those wins, we'll take them for sure.
I think a lot of Capitals fans kept refreshing their feed, hoping we get the news that we got this morning that Jacob Chychrun was extended. What went into that? That's something that's been worked on all throughout the season. You finally got across the finish line, or is that something that came up recently? How did those negotiations get to the point that they were today?
Yeah, we started, his agent and I started talking. We had some early conversations back in the fall, but really started talking in earnest, at the start of the new year here. And I think it took a while to get some serious traction. I think a lot of just trying to figure out, they have their group of players that they're going to use as comparables, and we have ours, and trying to find somewhere in the middle that makes sense for both sides. And I think with the playoffs coming up, it's definitely not something you want to do going into the playoffs. And then with a player like Jacob, who, if you get out of the playoffs and you've got 1 month till the free agency period starts, I mean, it just, at that point for him, it's almost like, why should I rush and do anything now? So I felt like getting something done here at the end of the regular season would be good timing wise. So kind of up the intensity, I guess, a little bit and try to find some common ground, which luckily we did in the last couple of days.
Chris, it goes without saying, $9 million is a lot, and that's kind of Ovi, Backy, and nobody else territory in this organization previously, but the cap is absolutely exploding. How much of the growth projected over the next 3 years that teams have been basically told about from the league headquarters already made this possible, or was that not even a consideration because you had to keep him one way or the other?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a consideration, and even before the guidance came out, I mean, the agency that represents them is a really smart group of people, and they had done their own homework, and they'd done the math on where league revenues are and what the player's share of that would be, and after you get through kind of the makeup payments for COVID that were contractually set forth at the time, like, they had a pretty good sense for where that cap was going, and then when the guidance came out, it pretty much synced up with what they had, so right from the start, that was, you know, a point on their side is that the cap is going to have some pretty serious growth here. And yeah, I mean, I think too, in the end, if you rank kind of the defense in the league by salary and where Jake fits in, you know, I think he's in a good spot, and a lot of those deals were signed in lower cap environments. So I think it shows that he was willing to work with us as much as we were willing to work with him. And he was willing to forgo, you know, becoming an unrestricted free agent at the age of 27, which doesn't happen a lot. And I think that really speaks to you know, what we have going here in Washington and how much he wanted to be a part of it. So I was really excited that he was willing to come our way.
How much urgency was there to get it done before the season ended? Obviously, like you talked about, you don't want to do it getting real too close to the playoffs, but also don't want to let him hit the free market and try to keep him here so that way you maybe don't have to up the offer even more. How much urgency was there to get this done as soon as you possibly could?
Yeah, this was definitely kind of priority number one coming out of the trade deadline. Once we got that past us, you know, this was something that I was hoping we could get done in the near future. So I'd say a decent amount of urgency. If you look, you can look through the history of the league, you know, players that are heading up to a potential big payday on free agency, that the longer you wait, and especially the further you get from the season being over, the more it just becomes, you know, let's see what else is out there. So, and I think all along too, his size and Jacob himself has been saying they've really loved it here. They've loved the fit. And it sounded like a place that he wanted to be here for a long time. So no reason to wait around till the off season to do it if that's his mindset. So I was happy that worked out that way.
A huge day for the Caps, a massive extension for Jacob Chychrun. Basically gets the Carlson contract, the 8 and the 64 after the cup, but a couple of years younger and with an exploding cap, a smaller percentage of the cap to be the building block for the next wave of defense here for the Capitals in the years ahead as they're built. Sustainably be excellent at the NHL level now and for years to come with some of the prospects coming, which we can ask Chris about in a moment. Hey, do you remember when you signed Alexi Protas to that 5-year deal and everyone said it was crazy? How funny is that? Like, people were making fun of you, like, Alexi Protas? Really? $3 million a year? Oh, my God. Who is this man? And how did it happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun watching Alexei from when we drafted him. I mean, when we drafted him, you know, big guy, still a little raw, but you could see the skill level, you could see the hockey sense, and then you know, you watch it develop through Hershey, wins a Calder Cup in Hershey, shows he can be a big player in big moments, you know, has a good, you know, really his first full season last season, and has a good season, even though production-wise maybe it wasn't where he wanted to be, but you don't get those deals without taking a little risk on both sides, right? So the team has to be willing to be like, well, he may not turn out the way we think he's going to turn out, but if he does, then we'll really like this deal. And the player has to also say, you know, I'm willing to take the security now, and whatever happens. And so, yeah, it turned out well. And yeah, he's been quite a force for us this year. It's been awesome to see.
Chris Patrick, GM of the Capitals, he and Brian McClellan working in unison in that front office. Just thinking about the Chychrun deal again, I'm kind of curious. With a deal of that magnitude, that much money, that many years, does ownership have to be involved where Ted is in the mix too, or is it still just hockey guys doing hockey stuff?
Yeah, we try to keep a pretty open line of communication to ownership, and that kind of runs through Mac and Dick Patrick, my father.
That's
and
hilarious. So always, like, yeah, that's funny. You're like, yeah, that guy, you know, my dad.
Yeah. But so, you know, Dick does a good job of making sure, you know, he filters to Ted, you know, what when things are starting to get kind of like, you know, it looks like something might happen. So he keeps Ted informed on that front. So yeah, Dick was aware all along. Once we started getting into like, all right, it's starting to get a little more traction here with Jacob. You know, I started filling him in on where we were number wise, and he was making sure Ted was on board with that.
So Grant was giving you your flowers for all the moves you made this offseason and stuff that you've obviously come up gold on. I think last offseason, you guys hiring Coach Carberry was a little bit of a risk, and it has been well worth it. He's been one of the best coaches in the league, maybe the front runner to win the Coach of the Year this year. How impressed have you guys been with Coach Carbs, and did you think he was going to be able to do what he's done now in year two?
Really impressed, I guess, but I don't want to like minimize anything. Like, I mean, not surprised at all, just having known Spencer, sure, going back even to his South Carolina days, but having worked really closely with him when he was in Hershey. I mean, this is what Carbs is. Like, he's a excellent communicator. He's great in front of the group. You know, he can be hard on the players, but he talks to the players. They know where they stand with them. And, you know, all the things that he did as an up and coming coach in the AHL, like has come to fruition here in the NHL too. So I guess, you know, one of the concerns you have with hiring a first year, you know, younger coach is how he handles the veteran type guys. And if they buy into what he's selling and you know, he's come in and done that flawlessly. So I guess that was maybe, you know, one thing that you would have a concern about. But yes, it's been an impressive 2 years of work for him, and we're definitely lucky to have him.
You're listening to GM Chris Patrick of the Capitals on Grant and Danny. We're really putting him on the coals here, really getting to the bottom of some things. It's been just a tough year for he and his decision makers. Best team in the NHL, Ovi about to break Gretzky's record, and a system that is flourishing in front of our eyes. The Caps set up to be really good for a long, long time. Andrew Kristol, Ryan Leonard, Ilya Protas, Cole Hudson all on the way among the elite prospects. Ryan Leonard, are we going to see him play in playoff games this year?
I mean, I certainly hope so. We'll have to see here. He's in a pretty important part of his season right now, so we're making sure that he has the proper space and time to do that. He's got one goal left here that he wants to do in college, which is to win a national championship. So, you know, we're hoping that he can continue to have success in that. And then as soon as his college season is over, we'll get on the phone and talk to his agent and see if there's something to be done here for the remainder of this season. And if that's the case, then yeah, we'll hopefully have him in for the last part in the playoff run.
That would feel like a gigantic leap, but we have seen guys make it. I mean, how confident would you be if he played for a handful of games at the end of the regular season that he could actually be helpful in a playoff run at the NHL level?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know until you see it. But just the fact that he's played on the biggest stages someone his age can at the U20 level and winning gold medals there. And he even played in the World Championships, you know, against men last spring with Team USA. So he's been exposed to some higher level competition. And like I said, the group we have in our room and our leadership group have done a great job of integrating guys. So I'm sure they'd get him in and get him feeling comfortable and help kind of teach him along the way about the system and how we're playing. And, you know, I think there already is probably some texting back and forth with him and some of our leadership group about you know, what it takes to be a Caps player and the Caps way and things like that. So, you know, hopefully he can come in and have a little boost. I remember Tom Wilson, I think some of his first games with us were in the playoffs against the Rangers, maybe.
And, yeah, that's right.
You know, it's you get that kind of element, you know, a young kid that's going to go out there and just kind of give it his all and compete hard and has some skill and some ability to disrupt and you know, he can have an impact. So, you know, maybe it'd be something similar to that.
Listen, Chris, you guys have only won 9 of your last 10, so get it together. Only 4 in a row, could be 5, right? Points in 12 of your last 13 on the road, should be 13 out of 13. So just make sure you guys are taking things seriously over there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, definitely the vibe around the skate this morning, guys are definitely in a good spot for tonight. I think it should be a good game. The group was engaged, loose, but focused. So, you know, and I think the guys, they've all done it. They've all been in the playoffs. I was looking through our roster. I think every guy on a team has played some level of NHL playoffs, except for maybe one. So they know that, you know, regular season is what it is, but it's a whole new level when we get to the playoffs, and that you have to be ready to start fresh, start new, you know, zero wins, zero losses, and know that team that's playing across from you deserves to be there every bit as much as you do. And it's going to be a battle. So I think we're getting that mindset going with our group.
Can't wait. Just the seventh time ever tonight that this deep into a season, number one team in the East playing number one team in the West, when both are top three in goals scored and goals allowed. Should be a lot of fun starting at 8 o'clock in Winnipeg. But the bigger news, Jacob Chychrun is locked in for 8 years after the deal struck by Chris Patrick, the GM of the Capitals, who's joining us here on G&D. Chris, thank you. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, definitely happy to do it. And, hopefully we catch up after a nice long playoff run.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we won't beat you up as bad next time. Don't worry.
You guys are the first people who have been telling me that. It's not going to be fun when the interviews turn the other way at some point.
We'll do one of those. Let's wait a couple of years. We'll do those too. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Chris Patrick, GM of the Capitals, on Grant and Danny. Very kind with his time here on The Fan.
Going to talk to our pal Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit cfaortho.com. What's up, coach?
Morning, guys.
So we were about the memorabilia that the Capitals sent us. We have a nice Ovi tracker now.
It's very fancy.
It's six goals to go. Yeah. Cakes needs a couple of maybe hat tricks because he's got his game coming up that he's bought road tickets for.
I'm going to be now. Look, this is a very
might need you.
Are you asking for some extra shifts?
I mean, look, I'm not asking for anything out of the ordinary. Just Ovi to score. I don't know, one or two against Minnesota to keep him on pace. So when I'm in the building at UBS Arena Sunday, April 6th.
Right.
I could potentially witness history. It would be fun. Is that too big of an ask?
An extra shift or two.
Yeah, no big deal. No big deal at all.
No biggie, right? I mean, it's
By the way, how do you even track that, coach? Like, because I think you said going on record, you know, and saying that you're trying to maybe a shift or two less, you know, to try to keep them fresh, et cetera. I mean, the guy is 39 years old, whatever he is. How do you even keep track of that to know where you are?
It's more of like an in-game, monitoring his minutes, monitoring what he looks like that night, monitoring schedule. There's a lot of different stuff that goes into it. And then,
So do you have an active count? Like they said, hey, it's through one period, you know, he's been out there for 7 minutes. Like, do you have that specific of a
real
number?
Real time data. I'm sure you get that.
Yeah, so some of the time, so we have two separate iPads on the bench.
Okay.
One is film, which you can go back through. The other one is stats, so it tracks like every little stat that you could think of, face-offs, time on ice. So I periodically will check that just to see where guys are at and just to monitor. Usually you have a feel for a guy who's been out there quite a bit or not enough, but that can just confirm it for you on that iPad on the bench.
Right.
Coach, recently I heard a conversation about college basketball, really, and analytics, and how you're seeing a lot more three-pointers, but now teams are emphasizing offensive rebounds, and I'm wondering, I don't know that we've talked to you too much about hockey analytics. What are the, has there been a change over the last decade or so with analytics, a change in the way you approach coaching?
Oh, big time. It's heavily involved now, especially... It's starting to become more prevalent with the coaches and preparation and pre-scouts, like on the coach level that's presented to the players. It's still pretty base level of what we share with the players, what terms we use, because there's a lot of stuff that they like. This is a real basic one. It's called Corsi. But if you start throwing that around with the players, they're not really sure what it is. They're like, what? Some guys know it, some guys don't. But what I'll tell you at the management level and how they evaluate players and make decisions based on trades, drafting players, it is a massive part of what teams are doing now. They have huge analytic teams that are sifting through numbers to sort of evaluate players, team stuff. So we have that on our that's sort of upstairs where we'll get reports and that stuff, but they work separately from us. But every team now has an analytics department.
So, Coach Carbs, Chicky gets paid 8 years, $72 million. He was a huge ad this offseason. He gets rewarded with the massive deal. And the funny detail coming out of it was, I guess that's what happens when the owner, Ted Leonsis, wears your jersey to a game. Then the next day, there's a phone call with Chicky's agent. And I guess Chikrin indicated that's kind of what got the ball rolling on getting the deal done so quickly. So talk about Chikrin. I saw some of your comments and quotes about him, that he's a guy that's not going to, you know, rest on his laurels now with the money. He works hard every single day. Talk about having Chicky in the fold now for multiple years.
Yeah, I really think that he's still so young, and I think he would agree, and he's said this to me, and I believe it, is he's got his best hockey is in front of him. Like, he has still such potential, and he's already a great elite defenseman in the NHL, but feels like he's just scratching the surface of what he's capable of doing in this league. And so that's exciting as a coach, someone that, you know, is going to be in the organization for a long, long time and wants to continue to grow and wants to continue to get better. When you make a long-term commitment, you feel really, really comfortable with a guy like Chicky. And he's had just a tremendous year. He's helped our team so much. And the funny part of that story, because I was talking to him yesterday about it, is the guys were giving him a hard time because Ted was wearing his jersey. So they thought that the guys just assumed, like, oh, do you have something to share with us, Chicky? And he's like, no, not at all.
Right.
And it was just total coincidence that, you know, in the next day things start to heat up. And that's sort of when the ball got rolling on the final legwork of his deal getting done. But it was just a total coincidence. But the guys thought exactly what you just said, that they was like, whoa, what's going on here? Is Ted's wearing your jersey because you have something to announce to us?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize, Coach. So did he make his debut in the NHL in 2016?
Yep.
How old was
he? Yeah, in Arizona.
Was he like 12?
How old was he? He's a young dude.
He played right away at a really young age. So, you know, that's where you look at some defensemen, usually when they get these bigger contracts, they're a little bit older, like 28, 29, where Chicky's still...
He's 26.
Right. Yeah.
Five more days.
Still in his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would argue, like, just about to hit his prime, where, you know, a lot of the UFAs, usually they're around 28, 29 when they get that deal, and they're, you know, 35 by the end of it, where Chicky feel like, you know, he's got tons of runway and tons of great years left in his career, and he's going to be a big part of the organization for years to come.
Coach, I didn't watch the game last night. I took 3 melatonin pretty early, so I was knocked out. 12 milligram gummies, by the way.
That's
good.
Big. You went hard.
But I was talking to a buddy who did. He said, you know what, that was a playoff atmosphere with the two best teams in the league last night. Your thoughts on the atmosphere in Winnipeg?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. It was always a difficult place to play in Winnipeg. Loud fans get into it. You know, they're the way their team plays, and they make it real difficult on you, especially early in that hockey game or early in games when you play in Winnipeg. So there wasn't a lot of real estate. There wasn't a lot of time and space. It was tight checking, competitive on every single puck battle. It felt like every possession was a big moment in the game. And I thought we handled it okay. I thought started a little bit slow. Second got a little bit better. And then third period, it took us a little bit we were down one going into the third. And the start of the third wasn't great. But then we came on in the second half of the third and we were able to get that game tied up.
Coach, I saw Bevilier's comments a few days ago about getting indoctrinated into the pregame tunnel shenanigans here with the Capitals. What's your best guess on why he's been on so many teams already? Six teams. Seems like a great kid. He's only been here for a little bit, but seems like he's assimilated pretty well.
Yeah, I think that was just a product of he was in Long Island for a long time, and you know, a big part of their sort of core group of guys that were, it was a really good team when Barry was there, and they were constantly pushing the envelope. Like, I remember they took Tampa to 7 the year they won it. Like, they were a really good team, went to the playoffs every year and went on a few good runs. And then the last few years, I think just because he's been on some shorter term deals, he's gotten moved at the deadline. And so that, you know, you end up playing on a couple teams each year because you get moved at the deadline, because teams that are qualifying for the playoffs are in search of players that they think that they can help, which is an example of what happened this year for him. But he's been fantastic. I've liked his speed. I've liked what he's brought, tenacity on the puck. He gets in, he forechecks. So he's fit in with our group really well, and especially with our identity as a team and who he is as a person. Like, guys, he's a good dude, and guys appreciate him in the locker room, and he's fit in nicely with our group.
Coach, earlier on the show, Cake said that you guys were coasting into the playoffs, so have a good coast. We'll talk to you next week.
11 games left.
Coasting, but yeah, we'll keep grinding.
Yep.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
You know how we were talking
about, probably doesn't like the coasting term.
You know how we were talking about that last segment?
Yeah.
How you kind of dominate the regular season, and then you just have a lull in the postseason. Remember the Boston Bruins 2 years ago had 135 points?
Yep.
They had 65 wins in the regular season.
And the Panthers took them out in the first round.
And they lost in the first round.
I do remember.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. So when you say coast into the playoffs, I say, I hope that they're treating every game, even though they know they're going to be one seed, like a playoff game.
The one thing we've learned, having so many good Caps teams, I know we're going to break, is the gauntlet that the playoff season is.
I know.
It's tough,
I
mean, man. It's brutal to get through.
It's brutal.
I mean, eights can beat ones.
Yep.
We are lucky enough to get to the Rude
Guest. Yeah, we're going to talk to somebody that's real.
Yeah, the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our friend, Mr. Alan May. Probably somewhere in transit from Winnipeg to Minneapolis. What's up, Alan? Thanks for making time, dude.
Hey, guys. I'm already in Minneapolis. I'm in the Four Seasons gym with Kenny Sabrin, our radio guy, and just trying to solve all the world's problems. So, living large.
That is two smart men. All right, well, before we talk about tomorrow night's game against the Wild, let's start with last night's game against a really good Winnipeg game, man. Winnipeg team. I thought that watching that game, that felt like playoff hockey. What was it like being there?
There was so much respect in the game for two teams that are loaded with the types of players that make each of them successful. And, you know, Winnipeg's got some smaller forwards that are super fast. And then they got some bigger guys that really know how to defend and block you out. A lot of big defensemen, one that's really good at puck moving. And, you know, they've got a style of play, and it was almost in the first period like we were watching two teams play the exact same system. And I thought there was a little too much respect given, and as the game went on, the intensity ramped up, players started to have a little more snarl, create some hatred in their game, and that added to everything that went with it. And, you know, you couldn't pull away. Neither team could pull away. So you knew that it would be, no matter what, end up being a one-goal game, which it was in overtime on a tough line change by the Caps, but there were so many things to like about it. Winnipeg, best power play in the league. Caps were able to stop every one of those attempts that they had at the man advantage. And I just thought it was a very good team, and you see why both teams are at the top of the standings in each of their own conferences.
Does that game last night make you start thinking about what if this is a 7-game series?
So, you know, no, because you got by the time you get to that point in the playoffs, you may have stumbled onto something else that makes you successful in the game. But what I would say is if these two teams played, we saw Tom Wilson get pissed off last night, and no one wanted the puck when he was on the ice. And I'm not sure how this dude has done it, but he's going to be 31 years old in a couple of days, and his skating is better than it's ever been. Like, it is smoother, it's more fluid, he's faster. And he's out there, and he was knocking the hell out of guys. Like, the big – it was almost linebackers, you know, coming through a hole and just exploding on a running back. And he was just thumping guys at full speed, all perfectly legal. And, you know, the big thing with, you know, how he's been so heavily scrutinized over the years, everything was a penalty. Now he's making those hits, and he's not getting the calls, because before there was a mid-area there where they just lifted their arms and called it a penalty anyways. But now – you know, he is a textbook hitter. He's a goal scorer. He's the team leader on the ice. When he gets like that, he elevates the team so much. And I love how everyone just follows pace. They pick up their intensity, the speed of the game, their defensive plays. Everything gets better because they're all in it because he just woke the game up.
What type of game, Alan, when you look at the Caps, and look, I was talking this morning about how good I thought Winnipeg was, but I finished it up by saying the Caps are damn good as well. You know, what type of game do they need to play to be on the better end of those games most times?
Well, the next time, you know, they play Winnipeg, they're gonna be way more physical. And, you know, you're on this road trip here. It's late in the year. You're at the top of the standings. No one's ever won the Stanley Cup on March 25th, if I'm correct, during the regular season. So, you know, it was just another game on a Tuesday as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, you could lose 10 games against a team in the regular season and go in the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, but for them to play at their best, it's efficient passing. I think the more they push the puck forward, the more they play in the other team's zone, they use a five-man cycle, which is maybe the best in the league when they get going, when they get the defensemen are rotating and revolving, the forwards are protecting the puck, and they get a net front presence. But at the same time, when they do that, they've got to shoot the puck. Last night there were times they should have shot the puck quicker, so everything would be quicker. They create more chaos, more like a more frenetic activity and pace in front of the opposition's net. And with Connor Hellebuyck, I think a little bit of what I was seeing in the first period was, you know, a whole lot of pre-scout. Well, you can score if you do this. Well, you can score on any goalie at any time. You got to make the move. You got to make it so they can't see the puck. You've got to beat them to their rebounds. And the next time they would play or play anyone else, that's the key to the success, is making them play in front of their own nets, you know, creating havoc, you know, being physical down low. And when everyone does it, the team's pretty much unstoppable. I think they've had 13 games where they've scored six or more goals. And maybe last year may have happened one time. But it happened a bunch of times against. It happened a whole lot against. And when they lose, this team loses a tight one. When they win, they're winning big. It's the complete reversal of last year. So it's night and day. It's so fun to watch. It's so fun to cover. And I'll tell you what, I haven't been around. I don't think I've ever been around a team that has this many great guys on it. And all my years as a player, an analyst, whatever I've done, it's a pretty unique group that they have. And I would love for them to stay healthy enough and stay committed enough to win a Stanley Cup and get the bounces to go their way so we can have another parade in D.C.
I mean, dude, I'm so with you. And for anybody having some consternation about losing to Winnipeg last night, to your earlier point about, like, you know, cups aren't won or lost in March, they also beat the hell out of Florida the game before. And Florida's a defending cup champ, made a bunch of trades to get guys for another run. I mean, they've matched up with the best in the league every time they've faced them. And I think this Caps team is so legitimate, and I think it's been so much fun to watch. And you couple that with also having the Ovi chase, it seems like that has not taken over what they're trying to accomplish whatsoever.
No, hey, when you think of it, 50th anniversaries are supposed to be really special, and this has been a really special, very special 50th anniversary to have so many things coinciding and happening at the same time. Like, no team has ever hit on all their off-season acquisitions in my memory in the National Hockey League, and the Caps have done it. And their defenders, their role players, their top-tier guys they've brought in, their penalty killers, their other goalie is, you know, on par with the best in the league with the guy that we faced last night. Those are the two best goalies. And then you take Ovi, add that to it. And these guys are soaking in the moments. They're enjoying it. And one last thing about, you know, March 25th in Winnipeg, you got to go through all the teams on the East Coast to be able to get to a team on the West side.
Right.
And so, you know, you got to be the Eastern baddie to make sure that you're taking care of it. And, you know, you got to worry about your division first or who you're going to play in the wild card. And then you take it from there. Then you got to beat up the guys who win the Atlantic on the other side. So, you know, you've got to have three rounds before you get to the one that matters the most. But, you know, the same thing. If a football team has got a game this Sunday and they're worried about the one the next Sunday, they're going to get their ass kicked. And it doesn't matter what place that football team is on Sunday and what place you are. You're going to get your ass kicked if you're overlooking your opponent. So to me, the biggest thing down the rest of the stretch, no matter who you're playing in the standings, everyone gets to respect, but your teammates have to have to respect your coach, your players. They've all got to be dialed in to narrow it down to how you want to play, to know how you're best. And you've got so many players having career years. There's not a team in the league that has a top six that are all in the same point range that the Capitals are in. And almost every single one of those guys, that's impossible for Obi at this time, but almost every single guy in the Caps top six is having a career year in one way or another. You take the guys in the third line, the way they're gelling together. The fourth line, I think, is the best in the league with Dowd and Duhamel. It doesn't matter who they put on the right side. It's a solid line, and it's a boost to the player that gets to play with them. Right now, it's Anthony Beauvillier. Loving what I'm seeing out of him. And then you take these six defensemen. They're the best puck movers in the league. They're the best defenders in the league, in my opinion, as a six-man group. I don't think I'm being a homer. I still watch a ton of hockey. And for six guys to be able to move the puck and defend the way they are is awesome. And like I keep saying, got to be healthy. You got to have some lucky bounces. You've just got to have so many things go your way to be able to win a Stanley Cup. But you know what? Just sharpen it. You know, sharpen it until the end of the season and go in the playoffs and be ready to go. And in the past, I've seen and heard the Capitals, and years ago, before they ever won a Stanley Cup, they'd be winning the President's Trophy, they'd be first place, they'd be way ahead, and they'd have an ugly March, they'd have an ugly April or whatever it was, maybe the end of February. And when someone would ask, aren't you worried about this? They'd say, nah, we're just worried about the playoffs. Well, they get their ass kicked pretty much in the first round every time. So Lessons learned, and you've got to keep your intensity and be ready to go, because the only thing that matters, like both teams, you start at 0-0, you've got to win the first four to win in the seven-game series. You've got to have that intensity. You've got to have that attitude. And I think the leadership right now, what I'm hearing out of the room, these guys aren't letting anyone float. They're not letting the games go by. They're not allowing themselves to be embarrassed. And that's a sign of a very, very good hockey team that's going to have good things go its way.
Sounds good, yeah.
Mayday, there was a moment I actually texted the group last night on the broadcast, and you've been doing an absolutely fantastic job along with Joe B. I don't remember what the trivia question was, but you clearly didn't like it, and then you made a joke about having to ask Grok, like the Twitter AI bot, and I texted our group thread, and I was like, dude, that was so funny by Alan. How much are you mentioned working with these guys and being around them, and not that, you know, you aren't usually around the guys, because you are, but how much are you enjoying the day-to-dayness of it all in this season, as this team is just an absolute wagon?
Well, in our group chat that we actually do nose-to-nose, face-to-face, in the hallways, on the buses, in the airplanes, the hotels.
Sure.
You know, we're all together when we travel, the radio and the TV guys, and we have a blast. We laugh and laugh and laugh. And, you know, we have a lot of deep conversations. Because of Joe B, we have a great red wine. And, it always goes back to hockey talk. You know, we talk about life, but it always gets back to hockey. And, you know, one of the things I was speaking to the guys about yesterday is how I am impressed with this team. And it's the leadership of Carlson, Ovechkin. You know, Backe and Oshie aren't here, but they were a big part of it. Tom Wilson. Now it's Stromer and Dowd. And these guys, you know, there's times in the past, you know, like, guys don't talk to the media, or they don't acknowledge people. And, you know, there's a big travel crew that goes with the Capitals. There's a huge production side from Monumental. There's our TV guys in production as well. The radio production is phenomenal, what John Walton has put together with his group of people. And we talk to the players. The players stop and talk. They don't do flybys. Everyone gets along. But the fact that the players have been so accommodating to everyone. And then when their families are around, I've been on the father's trips in the past, but you know, to get the interaction with everyone, and it's not superficial. We have real conversations. We all BS and laugh, and, you know, somewhat we pick on each other, and, you know, that's part of being in, you know, around sports. And
so that's a lot of that.
Good it's all great natured and you can't get away with anything. And, you know, the great thing is getting to know the players more and more. And, you know, hockey players, the majority of them are the worst interviews in the world, because they're being respectful. They keep it close to the vest. But when the microphone and the camera aren't around, you get to see what they're really like. And
sure.
some of the guys are absolute goofballs and morons in a good way. And you have to have those. There's guys I look at and just shake my head and laugh. And I miss having teammates like that. And then I see these guys and it'll remind me of stories. And, you know, we all share stories. And, you know, I talk to Jacob Chychrun a lot, and he's like a one of a kind human being, and, you know, great. But they're all like this. Like Ovi is so happy all the time. And, you know, he knows he's older now. I don't know if he's got one more year or 10 more years left in him because he's a freak and he should have been done 10 years ago with how hard he's played the game. But, you know, the positive vibes are great. So the longer we can keep that going, and whether it's myself or Craig or whoever all was doing this, Joe B, Al Koken, the longer it lasts, it's been so much fun on this team that no one had. Well, actually one person did. That was me publicly, that stated that they would be a good team because they were so methodical
right. In
how they built the team. But the thing is, every single player, you'll hear it like they can't believe how amazing the dressing room is. And the idiocy of what goes on in that tunnel before the games, I shake my head. I shake my head every time I watch it, and it just kills me. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like the best. And there's so many private – oh, my God. Like the first day Bevilier got here and gets in a game, and they're calling him Bovey. And then they start singing. And, you know, they start singing, and, you know, Chychrun, he takes it. Everyone's got something going on, and it's all in such good fun. And the ringleader is a 39-year-old, 5-year-old.
That's a good explanation, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, the next oldest guy pretty much is John Carlson, and he's in on all that stuff. So, you know, he treats all the guys. It's unbelievable to see how they change over the year. We were here for day one with John Carlson, and to see, you know, he's the caretaker of everyone. And, you know, he's like the big brother now, the dad almost. He's got enough of them at home, and then he's got a bunch of those younger guys around here. But it's been incredible to witness, and I think it's a trickle-down effect of how good the organization has become, how involved they are, the players. They do so much in the community. And I sound like an infomercial, but I'm so damn proud of what everything has become and where the players are at. It's been phenomenal.
Alan, I went through a whole season of that. I can see where you're coming from, bro.
And that season ended with the ring, right?
I'm talking about for this team to just be good again. Gotcha. And 20-something years, I was like, what the hell is going on? Last year, I could not believe my eyes, dog.
I think that stuff permeates the community. Like, I've always wanted, I thought, and you and I have had so many conversations over the years. And, you know, on the football side of things, it was embarrassing too many times. There was too much bad news and stuff that wasn't great. And to see it all align now, and, you know, I hope all the teams are good at some point, Wizards included. You know, they get the most work. But, if everyone, then there's nothing to complain about every day. But so – I don't know, half the guys on radio wouldn't have a job, but if there was nothing to complain about every day. But it was great to see that the football team was able to bring, you know, the community together more and more, that rather than being bad news and a black cloud at all times. And, you know, I for one, in the leadership of their quarterback, and, you know, I just thought it was great to hear people talk so positively about the football team again. And I hope it continues to happen and gets better and better. And when that new stadium is built, I hope to be there for game one.
All right. Yeah, and dude, let's hope. I was talking with somebody from Monumental the other day, and I asked, I was like, hey, man, you know, there's all this plans for construction to start this summer at Cap 1. And I was like, you know, the Caps could be playing well into May, maybe June. And they're like, we hope they do. Construction can wait. And I was just so happy with that answer.
They have never deviated from it. And, you know, there are plans to do it. And one of the things on, you know, the TV side of it, our studio has, there's still renovations going on there in our floor. We took over the rest of the floor.
Right.
The stuff's going on. I don't know if it's 7 days a week, but it's 24 hours a day. And I see that after the games. When I walk back into Capital One Arena, they're working on the arena at night. There's already been a lot of things. We did an OB special last week, and there was all types of construction and deconstruction going on at the same time. So they'll find a way to make it happen. And once again, you want to get something done, you do it 24/7. And and it'll get done.
That's it.
It shows the commitment, too. Mayday, there's a bunch of other things I wanted to ask you about. We've run out of time. We'll have to do it again. Can't wait to watch you and Joe B tomorrow night from Minnesota, and thank you for making time for us today. I know you've been traveling.
All right, take care, boys. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Alan. Appreciate you, bro. Yep.
Alan May. Give him a follow, at Alan May_16. Just absolutely fantastic. I'm so happy with how much those guys are enjoying this run. Last night was a tough loss, but that Caps team is a wagon.
But on the Rude Guest Hotline right now, we've got a congratulations in order for our friend Jacob Chikrin of the Washington Capitals. Mm. The boys got a point last night in Winnipeg and a loss in overtime. But the big story for the Caps was the new extension for Chikrin, who is going to be the face of Caps hockey for years to come. Jacob, I was chanting 4 more years a month ago when we had you on. I should have said 8 more years.
Mm.
An 8-year extension for Jacob Chikrin. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's definitely been a very exciting and happy, you know, last few days for, you know, myself and my family. So, yeah, we appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Trusted insight from Trusted Insiders make this segment possible. IT Cadre, our sponsor for Jacob Chikrin, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. So, Jacob, how did this come together, and how involved were you? Or do you just tell your agent, call me when I got to sign something, like, especially in season? Something where he was giving you constant updates? Was it in any way on your mind as you were playing this season?
We started talks quite early in the season. And luckily it was pretty slow for the last, you know, number of months. And so it made it easier on me because I wasn't, you know, talking with my agent about it at all, really. So it was nice because I, you know, wasn't on the top of my mind. I was able to just go play and try to take care of business. And then it really picked up the last 3 or 4 days. And just pretty much got finished in a few days after sort of a pretty long and slow process most of the season. So it really worked out perfectly in that sense, and I'm glad it got done, you know, especially before the end of the season here. So it's nice to go in and into playoffs and, you know, have that over with and be able to just enjoy the ride and do everything we can to win this year.
Jacob, this stress away with the Commanders, me and my little man, well, my wife as well, our family, but me and my little man love coming out to the games and watching you guys. I have a question for you, dude. So talking with the family, do you have the green light to do something, you know, like super selfish that you just get to treat yourself a little bit with the contract? Because I know for me, I was just starting to get the itch to golf. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get some just custom fit golf clubs.
Oh,
because I want them. Dadgummit, I want them. So do you have something where it's just like, you know what, this is me, and I'm going to have a little me time and treat myself?
That's a great question. I'm not really there yet.
yeah, it's season. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. But, I mean, gosh, like you, I do love golf. I'm a big golfer. So I don't know. I think maybe one thing I'd like to do now that, you know, we're locked in would honestly be to probably join a golf course in the area. And yeah, that's kind of one thing that I, you know, have circled on the list. But, you know, my wife and I, we try to do a good job of not overspending. I mean, you know, we're just pretty simple and homey people, and we don't like to you know, go crazy with our spending. So we definitely have our months, but, you know, we try to do a good job. We actually bought a new car, you know, a few weeks ago. We had a Tesla for a while that we've wanted to get rid of. We're pretty big, you know, as you guys know, we talk about our health and wellness a lot. We just had a weird feeling about sitting on a battery all day in the car. So we wanted to get rid of the Tesla, move on from the electric. And we ended up, I got my wife sort of her dream car, which was a G-Wagon. So she lucked out already. So I hope she's not going to be asking for anything post-contract here.
if you end up doing the golf route as a punter, you know, I thought it was my duty as a stereotype to live up to that stereotype to you know, thoroughly enjoy golfing. If you find yourself ever needing a fourth, you know, I'm just a quick 30, 40 minutes away. Just you know, shoot the invite, and I'll be there in a heartbeat, my friend.
I love it, man. I love it. I got to get your number here. We'll set something up for sure.
We'll exchange numbers. I will say, and Tress, I don't mean to throw the football players under the bus because I'm sure you guys have some unbelievable golfers, too.
Oh, I heard about the hockey guys.
Dude, I have found hockey dudes. Just, oh, yeah. They hit bombs.
Yes. Like, dude, think about the rotation. They're just
– is that a thing, Jacob, where, like, the something to do with the swing of the stick is comparable? Or why is that, that hockey players – I see, like, Ocean Carlson and some of these dudes at pro-ams.
Well, and you got to think, they're in the cold. They're inside in the cold all the time. Wouldn't you just want to go out and get some sunlight and be on some green grass and play some freaking golf?
And like, that's home. I mean, you're a Florida guy, Jacob, so you grew up golfing probably.
No, for sure. I think there's a lot of similarities. Like, a lot of our sport is hand-eye coordination. And, you know, you're always working on your hands and stick handling. And the game's so skilled now. Like, the amount of skill guys play with is incredible. And it's all, you know, stick and puck skill. So it's all stuff that, you know, you're constantly working on your hands and your touch and your finesse, and I think it just translates super well. And then, you know, you add in the slap shot, and, you know, I think just there's just a lot of similarities, so we probably, you know, do get away with a little bit, you know, more feel. I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of hockey guys who I've played with. You know, there's a ton of really, really good golfers. You know, I don't want to brag. I think my best handicap I got to was a 1.7, and I guys that were in the plus. So we got a lot of great golfers, and it's something we enjoy doing for sure in the off season. That's it.
Well, we were just talking about how, like, that was the most humble brag ever. You weren't trying to brag, but basically a scratch golfer is pretty amazing. So I'll put both of you on the spot then. We can start with you, Tress.
Yes.
Because I've been putting you on the spot way longer than Chikrin's new to the show.
That's fine.
I've known you since, you know, 2012.
14.
Right. Best and worst golfer on your team, as best as you know.
So I am technically the best, but Tyler Otter, a long snapper, has beat me the last two times, so I'm going to go ahead and give
him
the nod.
What's your handicap?
I'm a 3.
Oh, you're really good.
He's a 4 or 5, but he's beat me the last two times. And the worst golfer? I'd feel bad saying, but it's got to be one of the O-linemen.
What does it rhyme with?
I love them, but it's the O-linemen. They're a great time to be with, but I love my man Allegretti. Great hang.
Not Nick Allegretti's awesome. A hell of a hang.
A hell of a hang.
Yeah.
Not an awesome
golfer.
So, like,
the X and Y axis, where X is hang and Y axis is, like, good at golf, he's in, like, the bottom right quadrant, essentially. All right, so O-line can't really hang. But, by the way, you should go golf with Chikrin if you're a 3 handicap.
Well, yes, but, like, most importantly, like, it would just be fun to go golf with these guys.
True.
That's my thing. So when I go out and golf, I hope I shoot the best I've ever shot. I just also want to have a fun time. Like, like, let's go out and
drink a beer.
Have a beer.
Enjoy the sunlight.
Play some music. Play. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You got to unwind and enjoy it. Although, speaking of O-line, we just played with Andrew Whitworth in L.A. when we were there a couple weeks ago. And this guy's a player. He can really hit the ball. I think he's
probably. How long are his clubs?
I don't know. He's probably like a. Gosh, what is he? He's a low single digit. He's probably like three to five, I'd say.
Very cool.
And he still looks like he could play. I mean, this guy's a stud. But I think the worst on our team is either O or Sonny Milano.
Sonny Milano's
really.
Ovi does a lot of things well. That does not surprise me. Although, you know the story of his hole in one, like one of the first times he ever played golf.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
He has a hole in one
video all the time.
I'm not joking. I'll send you the video tonight. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. He has no idea what he's doing. I mean, Chikrin, you could tell it better than me probably. His swing is awful. Like, everything is terrible. And then the ball goes in and he loses his mind.
Yeah, and he could barely speak English at the time. It's so funny.
It was so good. So I know you're a huge Caps fan. You get to a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
I'd imagine, Jacob, just being, you know, it's not like a lot of the guys we have on from Canada or whatever. But you had to grow up loving the NFL, yeah? Do you have a team, or do you still follow the league?
Yeah. I mean, we used to share season tickets with a family friend for the Dolphins. We used to go a lot to the Dolphins games. This was before they had the new stadium. But they were always god-awful. So that was kind of frustrating. And there's a lot of really hot days where we'd leave like at halftime when they're down, you know, 24 rips. So,
the old stadium, I guess, didn't have the pool in it like the new one does.
No.
I couldn't believe that. When I went to that new stadium, you probably were too busy to notice this, but there's actually people swimming and like enjoy. I'm like, you're at a football game, dude.
I didn't know there was a pool there. Yeah. It's a sweet stadium, but I didn't know there was a
there's
pool
a club
there.
In there. There's a pool.
I knew there was.
Does anyone care about football? Could we just watch the game, please? It's wild.
Yeah, but I actually grew up going to a big football high school in South Florida, and I was really tight with all the football guys. I mean, you know, for my age, I was always very mature physically and training at a really young age. I actually did weightlifting with the football team, and, you know, the head coach was our teacher, and he was always trying to recruit me, and football was kind of the one thing my pops wouldn't let me do. But just having a lot of buddies who, you know, have gone on to, you know, big football schools, D1 schools, and even the NFL, you know, I ended up getting connected, had a lot of mutuals with Lamar Jackson, and Lamar came to a couple games. He came to the game in South Florida when I was with Arizona, and wore my jersey to the game, and really, really great dude. And I ended up getting pretty tight with Odell Beckham Jr. in Scottsdale. We were both going through an injury together and rehabbing, and we got connected through a mutual guy who looked
I think
after
this
us.
Is him politely telling me I'm not going to get the invite if there's an open fourth with OBJ and all these
guys. Lamar's definitely not a golfer. I think Odell enjoys golf, but I don't know if he's playing a lot.
I have a feeling his outfits would be wild.
Yeah, I don't think he's sure.
For
he's
sure.
Not dressed
but anyways,
the same way.
I'm a big Lamar guy, so I do love cheering for Baltimore, and I want to see that guy win really bad. But it's hard. It's hard now. Also, you know, I got to cheer for the Commanders, man. The year they had was so exciting, and I'm
got to
for them. Yeah.
We're excited to try to see if they can run it back here.
Oh, heck yeah!
Ovi pulls to within 5 of tying Gretzky, 6 of the record last night. So you guys are knocking on the door of history as you get a point in Winnipeg, but. Maybe this is a bad decision by me as the one kind of calling the shots on what to ask. I'm going to skip Ovi to get to this random thing. Dylan Strome was on a podcast the other day I was listening to, and he said that you want to get rid of the light bulbs in your house and replace them with bee wax candles or something like that.
This guy just completely threw me under the bus. We were just chatting in the room the other day. As I mentioned earlier, my wife and I are just big into, you know, living a clean, healthy life. Anyways, I told the boys, like, late the last few nights, fellas, like, you know, after dinner, you know, we love to cook, and after dinner, you know, we clean up and the sun's going down. We like to turn like lights off in the house and do no artificial light and just light some candles. And it's been really nice. You know, sleeping like a baby when I do
I
that.
I bet it smells good, too.
And then Stromer decided to go on a podcast next week and say, I took every light bulb out of my house. And
that's messed up.
That's free.
That's betrayal.
So there was never a mention of possibly removing light bulbs for the honeybee wax or whatever.
No, he completely sewered me. So now I'm dealing with that. I'm like a walking meme right now. I deleted all my socials. So I can't even see anything, but I got in-laws and I got cousins sending me, you know, screenshots of some of these tweets and posts, just people all over me for this beeswax candle thing. So, yeah.
Well, Jacob, I can't tell you how excited I am, man, that you're going to be here for the long haul. It's been an amazing season. You guys are locked in for, you know, the stretch run here, but really for years to come, you guys are built to be one of the top teams in the East. You'll be a big part of that, and congratulations. We're thrilled for you.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It was nice chatting today.
You got it. There's Jacob Chychrun of the Capitals, fresh off his 8-year extension.